Welcome to the Fandom Podcast, episode 138. This is the show that brings together geeks and nerds from across the fandomverse to analyze the news and discuss your favorite TV, movies, comics, and books. This week, we're having a draft. We're having the monster draft. That's right, we're talking about... Hey, let me get through the intro here.
You broke the podcast and you haven't even started yet.
Right? Okay. So we are doing a monster draft, much like we've done our superhero drafts in the past. And
it is the draft.
The monster draft. See, I told you that's what we're doing.
The monster draft.
But I've already lost him. Jeff, you loved that pun. You know you did. Hey, wait. People don't know who you are. Okay. So joining us, we've got Dr. Nick von Frankenstein.
It's pronounced Frankenstein.
Is it also pronounced Frodrick? No, it's pronounced Frederick. Suit yourself. I'm easy.
Why did you give him the option of going off on that tangent? Like, it was sitting there. How did you not see that coming?
I almost shut him down. I almost pronounced it Frankenstein.
Is it pronounced?
And...
Oh, you must be Igor.
It's pronounced Igor.
Well, they told me you were Igor.
Well, they were wrong then, weren't they?
All right, Nick. I lost you in the intro, let alone your intro. All right, so also joining us, we have the Wolfman. Yeah, I think it's because of all his facial hair. We've got Jeff Dumas.
Nah, I'm just too lazy to shave.
Are you sure you're not the Wolfman?
Yeah.
He's also the bass player from That Thing You Do.
You. What?
What?
He's the one that takes off as the bass player.
Yeah. Okay.
Gotta pretend that didn't happen.
Also joining us, we have the creature from the Black Lagoon, Taylor Iverson.
I am offended by that. I actually bothered to shower today.
Oh, I'm just going off what Nick said. You can blame him.
Hey, don't bring me into this.
Well,
why? You bring yourself into everything else.
That's why me and Nick are in separate rooms recording, because he doesn't...
We had to separate those two. They could not be together. All right, so I think that makes me the Van Helsing of the group. I am Brandon Uscio. Maybe not the Van Helsing. I don't think I have the kind of control that he did.
You have so mad crossbow skills.
Van Helsing turned into a werewolf at the end of that movie.
Spoilers!
It was a bad movie. No one cares.
Is that the rule on this podcast? You can spoil it if it was bad?
No. The rule is you can spoil it if your name is Jeff.
Yeah, the rule is I don't care.
I respect
that. All right.
That.
Also, the movie came out 2004, all right? People had their chance to see it.
You know what? People still get mad when you spoil the ending of Serenity with Wash. I'm just going to say.
How do reavers clean their spears? They run them through the wash.
That's just sad.
Really? Really? You didn't have the rim shot set up then?
Boo. Boo.
That joke I heard accredited to Nathan Fillion at Comic-Con, sitting next to Alan Tudyk. So there.
Really?
I saw it on a meme, and the words were just superimposed over an image, so I don't know if that was real.
He could have really said anything, but you know.
It might not have been. I'm sure it could have been, because that seems like something they'd have fun with. But.
But. All right, let's jump into some feedback. Okay, so this week we had, like, the day that the podcast dropped. I surely appreciate this. William, or Guillermo, our best friend of the show. Is that how this works? I'm terrible
at
nicknames.
Friend of the program.
Number one fan.
So he wrote into us, like, that same day and said, here's a link. I'm pretty sure it's safe. And it was a link to an Assassin's Creed Mickey Mouse. I appreciate that a lot. I actually laughed really hard because I hope you couldn't tell, but last week we had a bunch of technical difficulties and the editing together was a bunch of splicing and stuff like that. But we had a moment in there where Nick and I copied and pasted a Mickey Mouse Assassin's Creed into the document at the exact same time. It's also the exact same Mickey Mouse Assassin's Creed as William shared with us. And so I'm just saying great minds think alike on that one. So...
The greatest minds.
The greatest. Me, Nick, and William. We are the triumvirate. Is that how this works?
No.
The Illuminati.
Okay. All right. So I will put, since it's an image and this is an audio podcast, I will put that in the show notes. So if you open your podcatcher, tap on our album art, and it'll pull you down into the show notes in most podcatchers. The new Apple one's weird. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you on that one yet.
I don't use it. I don't think I've ever once downloaded a podcast through Apple.
All right, so that is our feedback. So now that we have our feedback done, let's jump into the news, sponsored by you. Head over to patreon.com/fandompodcast to find out more. All right, so we... I am so lazy with the feedback. I didn't send this one to you either.
Wait, we're going back to feedback?
No. It ties in with our first news story. Clay Glad, longtime listener Clay Glad, he reached out to us by using fandompodcast.com/contact to let us know that the Han Solo movie had wrapped and that it got its... title and that it was all ready to go. Well, almost ready to go. I'm sure there's editing and stuff like that to do. But Ron Howard is like, okay, we can now show you the name of the film. He flips around a card and the name is...
Porgs.
I Shot First.
I think that's going to be the subtitle. It's going to, you know, how you had Rogue One, A Star Wars Story? This one's going to be Solo, I Shot First. I like that.
So I'm down. Guido, you did.
So, Parsecs Equal Time, a Han Solo story.
No, you know what? Was it you who had the concept of the course? Your explanation, I think, is the first one that I ever heard that made his Parsecs, the Kessel Run and the Parsecs and all that stuff make sense to me. Do you want to share that explanation again?
So... the idea of the Kessel Run to me has always been that you had to do some sort of event or obstacle course, and depending on how long or like how far of a distance it took you to do, like that's how it was measured. It wasn't measured in time. It wasn't measured how fast you drive through a course, but it was measured in a way like you've got to do a loop-de-loop and you've got to do twirly twirls and you've got to cut back and forth or I don't know, something like that. I just always thought that
a black hole to the other one.
Yeah, or you know, like do all of these things, and then however far of a distance it takes you to do it, then you know, it's like somebody saying, "Okay, I'm doing the long jump." Right. Well, it's not measured in time; it's measured in how far you jump.
Hey, but I made that jump really quick. I think I should get the gold medal. Thank you very much.
No thanks. But yeah, like that. That was just my thought.
And that's the first one that made sense to me.
Wait, so I have a question. Is there supposed to be multiple Han Solo movies, or is it just this one? I'm not up to date.
I think it's just this one.
Just this one?
I'm pretty
sure.
They're
not, like, making multiple ones?
Yeah, it's just this one.
Although I love the idea of them naming a movie Solo 2.
I know. I was going to make that joke.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Way to step on that, Jeff. Way to step on that.
I apologize. Do you
want
to do it
again? I was going to say that I didn't know what the first movie was called, but the second one was definitely going to be... not Han Solo. It was going to be like Han Dulo.
Right. So,
segundo, which means second in Spanish.
Duo.
Duet.
San Diego.
Duo's about him and Chewie.
Oh, man. The dynamic duo, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, I think there's a trademark on it.
Man, I actually, Donald Glover is the one thing that I am the most excited about.
Yeah, if anything, awesome. That's who I want to see. Everything else is just frosting.
I think he's going to do a good job. I really
do. You
want
to see a Lando movie with Donald Glover instead of a Solo movie with what's-his-face?
Well, I think it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah,
pretty
but
sure
this
it's
one
gonna
would
be the same movie. Because, I mean, their paths are so intertwined, at least in the lore of Star Wars. At least the part
we want. Look at Donald Glover get like 15 minutes of screen time.
If that happens, then I will be disappointed.
There will be riots in the street. Riots, I tell you.
The description is Han Solo and Chewbacca's adventure before joining the Rebellion, including their early encounters with Lando Calrissian. So early encounters could mean he's in the movie for 5 minutes at the beginning and then... I was going to say dies, but that's clearly not true.
There, we have a lot of prequels lately. A lot of prequels. And that's the one thing, like, every time that they take a character that is in the original stuff that actually comes later, and they put them in mortal danger, you're like, really? Like, do we care? Because we know they're going to survive. Yeah. There was a certain spacefaring show that did that this last week that I was like, But all right, so we got.
But with that, wouldn't Rogue One be considered like
Rogue One? Those are all original characters,
but somewhat of a prequel to the story that we already knew.
Yes, yes, it was a prequel.
Yeah, but then they put a different spin on it.
Yeah, no, I see. I was okay with the Rogue One prequel stuff because I didn't know if those people were going to survive or not. I had ideas that were confirmed, but I didn't know for sure.
So you liked that better than just like the regular prequels where there's no stakes?
Yeah, because so regular prequels is like, okay, so Gotham in the Gotham TV series, Jim Gordon got arrested or Jim Gordon got kidnapped by the Penguin. Is he going to make it? I don't know. Well, yeah, he is because he goes on from detective to commissioner. Or young Bruce Wayne's in trouble. Is he going to make it out of that? Yes, he is. That's my big gripe with prequels is they try to make you care so much about something. Like not everything has to be life and death stakes, but they try to get you to care about it and to be all tense about things, and then you're like, yeah, I know they're gonna survive. Like if they put Han Solo in like life or death situations, like
in some sort of trash compactor with a giant monster in the bottom of it, you know,
you're like, oh, he's going to get out of this. Now, it might be fun. Like, if they don't try to make it all tense and they're like, and you're just like, oh, I'm interested to see how he figures out his way out of this one, I'm okay with that. But if they're like, is he or isn't he going to live? This is a close one. You know, like, have him stop breathing and have somebody have to resuscitate him. It's like, obviously he comes back to life. I mean, not everything has to be life and death stakes. But when they try to make you think it is with a character that you know is going to survive, that's just dumb.
That's a big reason why I didn't like Agent Carter. She became immortal.
Because you knew that she was going to survive.
Yeah. So, also, season 2 kind of sucked, in my opinion. Fight me.
You know what, Jeff? Everything sucked, in your opinion. I'm just going to...
Not everything. Fucking Dead today was amazing. All that war, man.
I was gonna say. I'm pretty sure he's gonna say Walking Dead.
I'm aware. I'm becoming a stereotype.
All right. So speaking of prequels,
a lot of time on Han Solo.
No, it's okay. I mean, I am. So I have no problem with that, Jeff.
All right. Speaking of prequels, we have Star Trek Discovery news. I was gonna try to make an STD joke, but
I put STD in the dock, and I was just to see what he'd do.
I was thinking about it. I was like, so we're gonna have a. What's it called when you get a sickness back?
Relapse?
Not remission.
I don't know.
A relapse.
STD
so apparently we're having a
remission.
Apparently we're having an STD relapse. We're going to get a season 2. So funny thing about that acronym real quick. So I don't know if you guys have been watching it.
Nope.
But they have been pushing really hard, like everything, like their workout clothes and wherever they can to put the name of the ship abbreviated, they put Disco. They want this to be Disco. They want us to refer to this one as Star Trek Disco.
Disco.
To be fair,
yeah.
You don't call Star Trek next. I guess you do. You call it Next Gen, or then you use Next Gen or Next Generation. You very rarely do you actually say Star Trek.
Right. So if you're gonna say, oh, it's on Next Gen or TNG or you know, yeah. But they want
or
us to use
Star
Disco.
I'm down with that.
But is they're putting it into the show as much as they can. I'm like, that's just them wanting people to stop calling it STD. That's all that is.
Well, one person could have been, hey, maybe we don't call it that.
Yeah, it's like, how did that make that through all of the
because Discovery was such a good name.
All right, so Star Trek. Speaking of Star Trek Discovery, we are going to be getting a season 2. And it's renewed, and you know we talked about that a couple months ago, where we knew that they were going to be getting season 2 because they already made money on Star Trek Discovery before they even aired by selling their rights to Netflix and selling their merchandising rights and all that stuff. They already made a profit on the whole series or on the whole season. So, but the CBS All Access announcement said. In just 6 episodes, Star Trek Discovery has driven subscriber growth, critical acclaim, and huge global fan interest for the first premium version of this great franchise, said Mark DeVoe, president and chief operating officer of CBS Interactive. So, you know, yes, Discovery set new CBS All Access records for subscriber signups.
Records for illegal downloads.
Well, no. They records for signups. But, you know, here's the thing.
Okay.
If your record for, like, both in a single day, your record for signups is 10. If you get 11 on the next day, that's setting a record. So the fact that they're not giving us actually numbers of how many people signed up, tell me that they're not super proud. They say, we're extremely proud of what they've accomplished and are thrilled to be bringing fans a second season of this tremendous series. They are not that proud of it, or else they'd be saying, oh, it's been watched over 9 million gazillion times.
We are
I'm proud of
so
our 13 listeners.
So many people.
Hey, we've got at least 16. More. Nerddome doesn't beat us that much.
Oh, 16. All right, we have 27.
27. All right. Pick a number between 16 and, let's say, 2,000.
You know, in the comments for this episode, people count off. You know, the first comment, just say one. The next person, say two. And we'll just see how many
roll call
we actually get. I want a head count, okay? I don't want to count anyone twice, so no cheating. You know.
I like that. Roll call.
I really want someone to do that. Like, I'm legitimately... Anyway.
If you want Jeff to be your best friend, head over to facebook.com/fandompodcast and just put the number one in as a comment. Or you send us an email.
But if number one's already there, you got to put no cheating. There's only one first, no matter what YouTube comments say.
First.
All right. So, yeah, Sunday nights on CBS All Access and the Space Channel in Canada. And Mondays on Netflix in the rest of the world. So, yeah, Star Trek Discovery, it's happening.
Still haven't watched it.
You should. It's good. It's fun. I actually think you would enjoy it. Sasha in space.
I would. I just don't want to. I don't want streaming services to think this is a good plan. So I'm voting with my dollar.
Okay. All right.
What? Also, I just don't want to.
Wait,
this is being cut out.
Are you boycotting streaming services?
No, not streaming service. I'm saying that. I don't want to get a new streaming service for one TV show. And I don't want to subscribe to a streaming service that is trying to get me to get their whole package based on one TV show.
Hey, Big Bang Theory.
I hate the Big Bang Theory.
Fine.
I loathe
Wow,
the Big Bang
who would
Theory.
Have thought?
The Young and the Restless.
I don't know what that show is.
All right.
Taylor, can you tell us about Young and the Restless?
Yeah, it's a soap opera.
There you go.
That
was a little stereotypical, Nick. I've probably watched more episodes of Young and the Restless than Taylor has.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know if I have watched an entire episode of that. That's just like a weird thing that I know.
Here's the thing about Taylor is that I know that she watches a lot of those, but that's just a little old for her style of soap opera.
Right now you got Brash and Sassy and Gerbeau and...
I'm talking about Pretty Little Liars, Riverdale. What's the other one that you just finished with A? Well, that was Pretty Little Liars.
Hey,
what was the
Brandon,
other one?
We anyway. Are the Flash. You're not the Flash. We are the Flash.
We are Negan.
So far, Nick, you're two for two because I have watched both of those shows.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think of the other one that you used to always watch. Vampire Diaries?
Yes. That is also true.
Yes, that starts with an A.
What's the other one that you and Lena always talked about? I can't remember. It ended
Veronica
on
One Tree Hill?
One Tree Hill, yeah. Tree Hill.
Gilmore Girls.
But that's not a soap opera.
I wouldn't say Gilmore Girls is a soap opera.
Yeah, that one's less soap opera-y.
Everything's a soap opera if you look at it the right way.
Wrestling's
Speaking
a soap,
of soap
opera,
operas.
And I admit it wholeheartedly. Like, wrestling is soap opera for guys. All right.
No, that's what the CW superhero shows are.
That too. Flash.
Arrow
100%.
This newest episode of Flash.
Felicity, I can't date you. Felicity, I've loved somebody else.
This newest episode of Flash had Barry and Iris literally going to couples counseling.
Wow. I don't know. See, okay, I'm just going to lay it out. Like, somebody was like, I've been loving watching the new Flash. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot that it started, because it's not on any of the services that I watch anymore.
CW, and it's free.
CWC.
I know, but I don't have that free one on my rotation.
Plex.
Yeah, well.
Ha! Check and mate.
Well, I knew that it was on CW, but I always forget to go there. I always find something else that I need to get caught up on the other four that I have.
You should catch up on Flash or the CW shows first because they go away. They only hold on to so many episodes.
That's what's hard. I do want to watch Supergirl, though, for sure, because I really like that one. And Flash. Those are the two. Well, and DC. Wow. Now I'm just going to watch them all. Crap.
You know, it's a shame we don't have enough TV to watch.
Yep.
So yeah, that is a problem we run into a lot.
So, speaking of which, we got a new season, a new series coming out, Dark Tower. It has been confirmed by Stephen, or it has been confirmed, I don't know if it's been by Stephen King, that it will be a reboot. So, yeah, it was Stephen King. Stephen King says Dark Tower TV series will be a complete reboot, which means the movie did terribly, and so they don't want to associate themselves with the movie, and they're like, we're going to do something completely different. And
I know for something completely different.
I never saw the movie, which is dumb because it's the kind of movie that I would like to see. And but it just
it's got Idris Elba. How bad can it be?
All right, all right, all right.
That's not Idris Elba. That was.
But Matthew McConaughey's in the movie.
Okay, so I don't know why I'm thinking about this. The newest.
But they look so similar, Jeff.
Newest episode of DC has P.T. Barnum. And he's workshopping the slogan, the greatest show on earth. And it's a couple jokes at it. It's pretty funny. I suggest that. Anyway, I don't know why that popped in my head. Dark Tower. It looked really good, kind of, but it didn't look like the book that I read.
See, what was going on? The Dark Tower movie was supposed to be the end of the book series, and the TV series was supposed to pick up after the movie. Okay. And we talked about that.
I don't pay attention to these conversations. Do you retain these conversations after we have them?
Has anyone seen this movie?
Somebody.
I think that's the problem. I think that's why they are going to fully reboot it, is because nobody saw this movie.
I remember seeing the preview
for this movie, and I have never been so uninterested in a movie.
Everything that seemed like it should have been like interesting to me, but I was like, no, I got stuff to do. So,
I intended to see it, but nobody liked it that I talked to, that I trusted their opinion. So I was just like, I guess it's funny
that they're like, oh, the movie didn't do so well, so let's keep trying.
Well, they had it in the plans and it was in the works already. And people were super excited because they wanted Idris Elba to reprise his role as Roland. And this, it's probably not going to happen now. Probably not going to happen. So... All right. More TV. More TV news. Doctor Who. We have officially gotten the companion list for the new TARDIS. The new TARDIS team will consist of the Doctor, Bradley Walsh, and so it's going to be the Doctor, obviously, because she's in the TARDIS, because it's the Doctor. And Bradley Walsh.
I wonder how many times you're going to stumble on that. It's the Doctor, she. Nothing's anything wrong. It's just, it's one of those...
It's
a woman.
That's right. It's a woman now. Okay. See, that's how much I care about it, that it's like, oh, yeah, my bad. Let me fix that because I don't care. So Bradley Walsh, I don't know him. He's British, and he's probably like been in like all British actors have been in every other series ever. He was in the
Sarah Connor Chronicles just briefly, as a villain once.
Sarah Connor Chronicles, like the Terminator one?
No. Sarah Jane Adventures.
The Sarah Jane Adventures. Very different kind
of show. I do that every time. I don't know why I do that every single time I say Sarah Connor when I'm thinking of Sarah Jane. That is so weird. Anyway.
So he was a spinoff in the Sarah Jane Adventures. Do you think they're going to touch on that or just forget that ever happened?
It's already forgotten.
It's out.
All right. So we're also going to have Mandeep Gill in there, and she... Yeah, she's been in BBC dramas, Love, Lies, and Records. I can't really see anything else she's been in. And Tosin Cole. So he has been in. Tosin Cole. Wow, that's a tough name to say. Thanks for giving that to a podcaster, Tosin. I owe you one. So he has been in Star Wars: The Force Awakens, and he was a speaking role as. He had a speaking role as a member of Red Squadron. So,
what? Yeah, so, he's a pilot?
I guess.
He can fly the TARDIS.
So we have on the TARDIS team, we've got a middle-aged white guy, and this time it's not the Doctor. And then a young, I wonder
if they're going to make a joke about that. Like, excuse me, sir, are you the Doctor? And she's going to take off her hood and go, no. And then, yeah.
I'm sure it's going to happen because I'm sure that's so many times where when I have been with women who've been in charge of things, it's ridiculous how they'll turn to me and be like, can you? And it's like, no, you're talking to her. She's in charge. But so we got a middle-aged white guy, a middle-aged white woman, and then a young Indian or Middle Eastern woman, and a young black male. So this is a really diverse TARDIS team, actually. I'm kind of excited about that.
I'm sure the internet is thrilled. I guess the companions don't really cause that much controversy.
Never, because Bill never caused any controversy.
The only controversy I
Clara
caused
being on the season for like 10 seasons didn't cause any controversy either.
And Rose kissing the Doctor didn't cause any controversy. And so here's my thought.
I agree. Why are you guys showing so many examples of you agreeing with me?
And Donna Noble being a comedian and not a...
Again, you're agreeing with me. Why are you giving me so many examples that you're agreeing
with
me?
Because you're brilliant, Jeff. And we wanted to enforce your brilliance. Reinforce.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah, Nick said brilliant, so I had to say fantastic because Ninth Doctor.
Good job.
All right. So I would be interested because there's everyone, not everyone, enough people liked it that they kept doing it. I hated the romantic subplots that they had between the Doctor and his companions. And I wonder if they're going to do something now since you got a middle-aged white guy and a middle-aged white woman. I'm pretty sure Bradley Walsh
is... Time Lord.
No.
And I don't think she's middle-aged. She's quite old.
Well, for a Time Lord,
middle-aged implies that you know when she's going to die.
That's true.
Don't you?
And also, technically, the Doctor should have been at the end of his life, and then he was given more regenerations. So
right, so if he was given 13...
Early on, she's early on in this regeneration, only the second iteration of a 13th cycle, so she's very young.
Right, so second iteration of the second 13th cycle, of which they've already had one, which places her right in about the middle of the lifespan.
So 1 plus 1 plus 2 plus 1?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, I would just to say I'm so confused by what you guys are talking about.
It's okay. It's
like you're speaking a foreign language.
They're speaking nerd.
It's called Whovian.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff.
All right, now that we've lost all of the non-Doctor Who fans.
Hey, come back. We're going to talk about Marvel. Hey, come on. Listen. Marvel's next.
So we've got Nightmare Before Christmas is apparently... Like,
look what he did there.
For a second, I thought, wait, do you really not want to talk about the trailer? I haven't seen it, but do you not want to talk that it happened?
No, because I'm
waiting to see a movie.
So my philosophy used to be like, you know what? If you don't want trailers that, or if you don't want spoilers, that's fine. That is on you. You can choose to be Amish, but I don't have to turn off my electricity because you chose to be Amish. And now it's like, oh,
and yet
you
give me so much crap for spoiling stuff,
right? Mm-hmm. Right. So, but I used to not care, and then you guys are like, no, don't watch the trailers. The trailers are evil. If you're going to watch the show already, don't watch the trailer. It will show the whole movie. And so I stopped watching trailers, and now you're like, hey, let's talk about this trailer. Every time I don't watch the trailer.
I'm just saying, let's acknowledge that
every time.
I didn't watch this trailer. Jeff didn't watch this trailer. Did you watch it?
I did not watch this trailer.
Okay, and Brandon?
And I did not.
Okay, so there was a Black Panther trailer. If you're interested, go watch it.
I've heard nothing but good things about it.
I have a crush on the Black Panther. That's about all I have to say.
I heard one white guy say that he's never liked Black Panther and just can't get into it. And I ended the conversation there because I'm all like, I'm not having this conversation at work. Nope.
You know, I've heard the trailer opens with an old white guy, which is funny if you look at the context of the movie. But I haven't seen the trailer. Waiting for a movie to go see in theaters.
So I did see the poster for it, and the poster only has two white guys on it. And those two white guys, we have Smeagol, and we have Bilbo. So,
yeah.
And the joke is, they're the Tolkien white guys.
Yeah, they're the Tolkien white guys.
I need my rim shot. How come I don't have a rim
shot? Heck?
Dude.
We even gave you time.
We gave you, like...
I don't have a... I only have so many buttons on here.
You should at least do the Batman.
I don't have that on here. I redid stuff.
Oh my
for the
gosh.
Walking Dead. I blame the Walking Dead.
You have failed this city.
But, like, seriously, The Walking Dead was so good. Like, All Out War started. There was a whole bunch of homages to past episodes. It was really good.
No.
No?
No. See, just take that one off.
See, I should have, but...
Way too long.
I know. I know. My bad. I know. Okay.
You need to be quick. All right. Fast paced. You need to be on the ball with this.
Or fix it in post. And then make us look like idiots.
Where was the rim shot? It was right there, you guys.
You say that joke. Where was the rim shot?
We are really alienating our guest here, guys. So let's continue on here.
All right. So Nightmare Before Christmas. There's always a debate whether it's a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie. The director has an opinion. Before I tell the director an opinion, do you guys have opinions?
Nope. It's a movie. Watch it when you want to watch it.
I think that this is a fall movie to winter movie. You watch it as fall begins all the way through Christmas.
What's this?
Why do you have to watch it only in the fall? If you want to watch Nightmare Before Christmas, watch Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, well, this is just when I want to watch it.
That's fair.
So
I have a confession. I have never seen this movie all the way through.
You need to talk to my wife.
Like, I've seen bits and pieces, but I've never seen the complete movie in one sitting.
I'm not sure that's okay. Oh, no, it is. It's just a claymation movie. It's just a claymation movie. Don't worry.
Excuse me. We've had this
discussion. It's just a claymation movie directed by Tim Burton. It's fine. Nothing about that sentence is true.
But I think I'm on Jeff's side. I think that you should be able to watch whatever movie you want to watch whenever you want to watch it.
Brandon, we've talked about your vocabulary. And it is unacceptable right now.
You know, the funny thing is, it was 2 years ago. 2 years ago this week,
recently.
That you corrected me on this.
I know,
and he's never going to not say it.
Your very first comment on the Fandom Podcast was an email that you wrote in telling me that I made a mistake with claymation.
And Brandon went, "Holy crap! Someone's listening."
This is not the California.
We have a listener. And then I brought him on because that's what you do, apparently.
He won his way on.
I did.
Anyway, explain why it's not claymation, briefly.
Briefly. It's Nick.
Well, because I know that this can get into a deep conversation, and we haven't even
got to the main topic. Claymation is when you actually use clay, and it's molded, and pretty much there's not very many of those. The best example of it is the California Raisins from the 1980s. Stop-motion animation is when you use puppets that are made out of resin, or, like, actual, like, hard plastics and stuff, and then you make a movie moving small action figures or puppets. Stop-motion animation is what this film is.
Yeah, all but right, claymation so, sounds so much better.
It actually right, sounds so, perverted to me, so
wait,
don't
are
ever
those,
say it in my
are those old, like, Christmas shows?
A lot of those are claymation.
I heard it through That's the grapevine.
But, like, it's so obvious in the California Raisins thing that it's, like, clay, because it's, like, kind of, it was kind of the...
What about Wallace and Gromit? Is that...
It's kind of both, but it is clay. So, but I still...
It's clay used with stop motion.
Yeah. I'm learning so much.
So, is Wonder Woman a claymation then, because if Zeus made her out of clay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
That is canon.
All right. Just making sure. So, okay, so Wonder Woman is really a good example
with
some great claymation.
I'm upset with how fast Nick agreed with that. No,
I just want him to shut up about this topic because it really gets me heated.
All right, so
now I'm turning into Jeff. Look what you've done.
There's one thing that gets Nick heated. It's claymation.
So everyone send Nick your best claymation videos. That
right.
actually sounds like... If you made a claymation, send it to Nick, and he'll tell you that you're wrong.
No, I will. I won't tell you you're wrong. I'll just, if it's legitimately claymation. But if you're taking your action figure or your Legos, and you're moving them around and making a stop motion animation film, and you say, "Look at this claymation," then I will say, "I'm sorry, sir."
Point of order.
Correct.
I think this is the most times anyone has ever said claymation in a 5-minute time period.
Claymation.
You're not helping. We already beat the record.
Oh, well, my bad. My bad.
You just want to kill it.
I'm just participating here. Anyway, so Henry Selick.
No, that's right. We still haven't even got.
I don't know if that's any relation to Tom Selleck. I like to think so, but I doubt it. Henry Selick, who is the director, he acknowledged that there are many people who enjoy the Christmas parts of the movie more, but when you get right down to it, Nightmare Before Christmas is about the folks in Halloween Town and how they would respond to something like Christmas, not the other way around. So this is about Halloween Town, so it's very clearly a Halloween movie. I don't think it matters, but, you know.
He says that in the thing, too. It's just like, at the end of the day, just watch the movie.
Yeah. All right, so Nightmare Before Christmas, it's settled. I didn't know it was a debate, but Jeff put it in here, so I have to read it. That's how this works. I'm just glad he didn't put a
question
mark. You cut news stories all the time. When I filled out the doc, I left a question mark in the intro. You went and changed it. Mostly because I wasn't really sure what we were
doing. I thought the question mark was more because you were like, I'm not sure if this is how you want to do it.
Well, it was because, like, hey, I think this is what we're talking about, and this signifies that I changed something, so don't go messing with it.
So, yeah. And I actually thought that as I was reading it. I'm like, is this episode 138? But then I was like, I trust Jeff. I don't know why, but I do.
Hey, I get stuff right occasionally.
138.
Okay. All right. So Nightmare Before Christmas is not a Christmas movie. It's Halloween, but it doesn't really matter. And it's not claymation. Don't call it that, people. Don't call it that.
Or do. Either way. Live your life.
Okay. If you do, make sure to copy nick@fandompodcast.com. That email will exist by the end of this episode.
I thought it already did for some reason, but
it might. I may have done that. nik@fandompodcast.com if you want to send something straight to Nick.
I send a lot of hate mail to the people at Nerd Dome, so maybe they could just send me some hate mail.
So it's about time for some reciprocation is what you're saying. You're not going to get it from Charles. He doesn't reciprocate. So
Charles doesn't listen.
That's true.
That's why he won't reciprocate. So, all right. Okay, so that is our news, and at this point, we're going to jump over and do a quick little Patreon break. Last week, we gave you a solemn plea, and we really wanted to make sure that we were able to express to you how much Jeff wanted to see those numbers go up, and Jeff bribed people into signing up for Patreon. So
technically, I only bribed one person.
Well, after this episode, we're going to get more because that's really what you care about. For Jeff, it's all about the numbers. Nick and I...
So I don't see the download numbers. I only see what Brandon sends me, so the only number I see is the Patreon thing. The public number.
So Nick and I, we care about you. We care about the person. Jeff, he just wants the numbers.
Well, the number represents a person. Jeez, you're making me sound like a heartless monster.
All right.
I am, but geez, I keep that to myself.
Okay, so we got our first patron this week. He went over to patreon.com/fandompodcast, signed up, donated $1 a month. It's not much. It's like the price of a soda every month.
It's something.
Or pop, depending on what part of the country you're in. Maybe Coke. It just depends on where you're living. But Guillermo, the patron saint to the Fandom Podcast, or maybe it's William de Medici.
What? I like that. Keep going.
The patron saint? What?
Yeah, that's his title from now on.
Okay, all right. So William, the same William who sent it, I'm 99% sure, the odds of another William sending an email and signing up, like, right then, it really...
Yeah, because two people can't have the same name.
Right? So
that
yeah,
never happens.
All right. So if this is a different William, well, boy, we're sure going to be putting our foot in our mouth right now, which is not an unusual taste for us. But
speak for yourself.
Yeah, maybe just making lots of connections with lots of Williams.
Welcome to the William
that's
podcast.
Your fan base is Williams.
Everyone named right? William, please reply.
So, other Williams
can,
are like, hey,
you
William,
can start your
have you
own
heard this
countdown.
Podcast?
So if there's other countdowns that are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, if your name's William, you can start at 1 for yourself.
We will also accept Bills and Wills.
My dad's middle name
no
is
Billies,
William.
Though.
Does that count?
No Billies.
No.
Middle names don't count unless you go by your middle name.
If your whatever profile, whatever your social media says when you comment says William or Bill or Will, we'll accept it.
We have an exclusive club here, guys.
We don't accept any other fans.
No, we do. We're just curious about how many Williams actually listen to this.
So, all right. So, Jeff,
I don't know about Brandon. I'm accepting other fans, but you know, Brandon sounds like he just wants Williams.
Just Williams.
Well, like I said, I care about the person, not the number. Like Jeff just wants to see his fan count go way high.
Again, numbers represent people.
All right. Okay. So thank you, William, for signing up. Jeff, you made a promise that you were going to send out a Marvel Legacy out to him. So,
if he gets us his address, I will send it to him.
Yep, and you can send that to the feedback@fandompodcast.com or jeff@fandompodcast.com. That will exist too.
Don't do that. I don't know how to check that. I didn't know that's a thing.
I don't know that it is yet, but I can make that happen. Put your email in the doc, Jeff, and I'll just make it forward to it.
You have my email. Didn't I have to give you my email to do this whole doc thing?
Probably, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I think I've got your email. Cool.
My email's not that complicated either.
All right. So,
and this is the guy that is a network engineer.
Right. I know what I'm doing, people. I'm edumacated. Oh, wait, no, I'm not. Okay, so we've got... So Jeff's going to send out Marvel Legacy up until November 20th, that 30-day mark that I talked about. So I talked about shutting down Patreon at 30 days. William has stopped that. However, the 30 days is counter. I figure I've already said it. I might as well use it for something. We're going to use the 30-day cutoff for the mystery Funko Pop that Jeff has. Boy, like I said, Jeff really wants to get those numbers up. So if you...
Or Jeff has too many Funko Pops and needs to get rid of them.
That's not how you're supposed to say it. But anyway, so Jeff has a... It's
everywhere.
Actually a PX exclusive Funko Pop that he wants to send out. So we will randomly pick one of our patrons on November 20th to be the recipient of one of these exclusive PX exclusive Funko Pops that Jeff has. It's a cool one. I Googled it. It looks like it's cool. So head over to patreon.com/fandompodcast if you want to help support us. We would be so grateful. $1 a month, $1 a month is not that much. Most people can find that in their car cushions, couch cushions. I don't know how loose your change is.
Cushions,
bed cushions. I think some people call those their pillows, but why you've got change in your bed cushions, I don't know.
I finally got pajamas with pockets in it because I was tired of holding all my stuff while I slept.
Okay.
To meet you, Mark.
All right. Good job.
Yeah. I'm proud of that joke. Boom. There it is.
There you go, Jeff.
Finally.
All right. Speaking of finally, let's jump into our monster draft.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
Draft.
Monster mash.
I hate you so much.
It was a graveyard smash.
That's promise.
You know what?
I'm going to put that up there with the top 10 stupidest things ever done on this podcast. I'm going to make a list.
You know, that's going to be really hard to pick out which ones are the dumbest things. After all, you've got me with the soundboard. So... Okay.
Stupidest things on the podcast.
All right.
Monster draft. Continue.
All right. So we are reaching Halloween. And to get into the Halloween mood, we decided to talk about and draft our favorite monsters and villains from the Fandiverse. We are a bunch of scaredy cats here, except for Jeff, maybe. He watches The Walking Dead. No, he's a scaredy cat, too. That's the only thing. So we decided to bring on someone big and tough that can
with his dad.
Weird, not scary.
All right, so we decided to bring on somebody big and tough to talk to us about scary movies and scary monsters. That's why we brought Taylor on. Thank you, Taylor, for being on here.
You're welcome. I'm glad that I can be the least scared one in the room.
Wow, you sound so excited to be here.
I'm so excited.
Big girl pants here.
So this time Nick's going to scream about a spider.
Yes, that was a scary spider.
All right. If you're wondering what we're talking about, listen to the outtakes from last week. All right. So we have a monster draft here coming up, and what we're going to do is we're each going to pick pick a monster and talk about why we think it's a great monster or villain. I opened it up to villains too, because we're a bunch of scaredy pants around here. Maybe we don't know that many monsters because they scare us. So let's start out with Taylor as our guest and expert. We're gonna let you go first, and then we are going to have Nick go, Jeff, and then Brandon, myself, to talk about our favorite monsters. And so why don't you take us away, Taylor?
Okay, so the first one that came to mind was the Gentleman from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. So from Hush, the episode.
Oh my gosh.
You guys familiar with Buffy?
Oh, yeah.
What's Buffy? Like a really strong guy?
Like, everyone know what I'm talking about?
Actually, no.
I don't know Buffy?
I know Buffy. I have not watched it in like 10 years.
This is one of the most iconic episodes of Buffy.
Yeah, so let me remind you.
Yeah, I feel. I'm sorry.
So the Gentleman there from the episode where they lose all their voices. Do you remember that one?
No. I've watched so much TV since then. I don't remember anything. Like, if I've slept since then, I don't remember it.
I feel like that's crazy. That episode is iconic. I think it was nominated for something.
An Emmy. Yes.
So yeah, in the episode, basically the Gentlemen come to town and steal everyone in the town's voices. And so throughout the whole episode, no one can speak. And the whole episode is like completely silent, except for like a little bit at the beginning before they lose their voices and a little bit at the end. And I think the Gentlemen in general are just terrifying with the way that they look. They look very scary, but also just the concept of like a monster that can steal your voice and that you can't scream. I just think there's something like so incredibly terrifying about that.
We might need to take away your privileges.
I thought that was Nick. I legitimately thought Nick just decided to scream, and then I remember Brandon had a soundboard.
Sorry. You unleashed something last week, Jeff. I blame you.
Why is it so, my... Wait,
no, like,
how is this my fault?
Like, this episode of Buffy is one of the reasons why Joss Whedon is respected so much, because he brought something to television and basically said to everyone, like, I'm going to do something that no one will believe that I can do. And he's like, I'm going to create an episode of TV where no one talks before or like after silent films have actually been done. Like, nobody's going to want to watch this. That's why we have sound now, right? But like, it is one of the most beloved episodes of Buffy. And if you don't watch anything else of Buffy, watch that episode.
So would you say that's an episode, if you're wondering if you would like Buffy, watch that one and you'd see if you like it?
No, because... you don't really get the characters. It's just all the actors are acting so brilliantly because they can't speak, and it's all mime. It's all pantomime.
They're all being black.
You know, yeah. They're all...
Well, awesome. Okay, I just pulled up a picture of them, and I vaguely remember this episode now. So they look like the Buffy vampires crossed with, like, skeletons. Like the weird facial features, but like bald heads and white. Yeah, they are super creepy looking. They're wearing black suits. Their origins
is they don't walk. They like float. They don't walk, which I think is really creepy.
They kind of look like the Silence, but more human like from Doctor Who. Like
kind of
their swollen eyes and bald heads.
And yeah, so in the episode they cut out people's hearts, but it's like,
that's gross.
Yeah, it'll show them like cutting out the heart, but the person can't scream, so no one will come to save them.
So Buffy had a dream in this episode, and in the dream there was a girl that said a rhyme: can't even shout, can't even cry, the gentlemen are coming by, looking in windows, knocking on doors, they need to take 7, and they might take yours, can't call the mom, can't say a word, you're going to die screaming, but you won't be heard. That's just creepy.
Yeah,
I'm just looking at GIFs right now of the Gentlemen. They're pretty terrifying.
Yeah. Stop. Okay. All right. Let's continue on. I'm getting heebies.
So that was from Buffy episode. Trying to remember. Okay. Buffy season 4. And
I don't know.
The episode is called Hush. And so it's Buffy fourth season.
So it's Buffy fights that Batman villain.
It's the 60. Oh, so Buffy season 4 episode 10. So yeah, check that out. Is Buffy streaming on Netflix still?
Hulu. Yes, it is. Or if you want to borrow it from me, I have all of the seasons on DVD.
Okay, listeners, if you hear that,
contact.
Yeah, contact me.
Taylor at fandompodcast.com.
They are also on Hulu. I am looking.
Oh,
that's weird. Why are they on Hulu?
I need to go watch that now.
All right.
I watch Hush every year on my birthday. Is that weird?
A little bit,
maybe.
No.
I have a tradition to watch all my favorite episodes of my favorite TV shows on my birthday, and that's one of my favorite episodes of Buffy.
That's a cool tradition.
That's weird.
That is really cool. Like, that's a great way to celebrate, like, just having joy all the time of all the things you love.
It's the best. Like, I get to make a list every year of, like, what episodes I want to watch, but Hush always comes up because I love Hush.
All right, Nick, give us your first draft.
Okay, so I hate to be cliche. But
no,
I'm
you
going
don't
to be cliche right now because I think. All right. Well, now I'm
do it. Guessing. Be cliche. Be
okay, cliche. So I'm going to say that I am going to draft for my favorite villain slash monster of all time, the Joker. But specifically, the Joker from the Batman Arkham games, because I feel like he is menacing and scary, and I would not want him in my head all the time, and that would terrify me if the Joker just appeared anywhere I was walking to talk to me and make fun of me all the time, and I would not want that. And so I love Mark Hamill's rendition of the Joker. I think that he is one of the best Jokers, and in that game, I think that for me, it just brings joy to the game the whole time, like his performance. And I was really sad when he wasn't going to be in it anymore, and then they found a way to bring him back, and it was just brilliant. Like, that game is just brilliant. So I am drafting the Joker. I really tried not to choose it, but I just have
you
to.
Really tried, but then you decided not to.
Yeah, I was just like, you know what? I got to do it this time. I just got to do it.
So I have never played the Joker, or I've never played the Arkham games.
Why not?
Because I don't have them.
Do you have an Xbox 360?
Uh-huh. I don't know if it works. It hasn't been turned on in a while.
Well, if that works, I own them. I even own... What's the one that some people say doesn't count? Origins. Yeah, that one.
And that's just because I think Mark Hamill's Joker in that one?
Say it doesn't count because it's Rocksteady. It's
Rocksteady and Bebop?
It's not...
Yes.
Shut up.
You can play your drop. Oh, you missed it.
Yeah, you see? Too late.
No, the Ninja Turtle theme.
Because you never know when you're going to need it.
Okay, so... Yes, you can play the games. You have the technology.
Okay.
Well, you have the technology. Whether or not it functions is another story.
All right. So I should play the games. I should play the games and be creeped out with
fun.
The Joker. Okay, Jeff, what is your monster pick?
So this isn't my favorite, but it's something I didn't think any of you would pick. But I'm going to books. I'm going to choose the Nachmar from Monster Hunter Legion.
Oh.
It's a creature that can literally just bring your nightmares to life.
Yeah.
And without going into how, that spoils the book. But it's book 4 in the Monster Hunter series. The Nachmar.
Yes.
It's German for nightmare. Yeah, like, what's worse than just like, hey, I fear that, and now it's here. So.
Yeah, that sounds pretty creepy. Like,
I don't know how well. Mm-hmm. Don't know how to do it. It's just like, what's scarier than your nightmare?
Yeah.
So I win.
All right.
Show over. Thanks for listening.
when I was little, I used to have this vivid nightmare all the time. It was the weirdest thing. And I remember having this dream over and over and over and over. And I would, like, there were all these little people, like, gathering up leaves or something. And I would come down and, like, hang out with these little, like, gremlin people. And then all of a sudden, this giant tube, just like from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, would come and suck me up into the air in this giant vacuum tube. And then I would go somewhere, and there'd be this, like, giant guy on a throne that would, like, mean to me or something. Like, it always terrified me. I don't know why. But so I guess Willy Wonka is my... being sucked up into a tube is my biggest nightmare.
All right, so jumping into my first pick, I am going to go with a science fiction property. This is very possibly the first science fiction novel ever, and it was written by a 21-year-old woman named Mary Shelley. Oh. She has a, and it is called Frankenstein.
It's pronounced Frankenstein.
Or maybe the modern day Prometheus.
Is it also Frodrick?
We already went over this, Nick. We already went over this.
Hey, so. You were the one that brought it up. You dug your own grave.
Actually, it's my own fault.
Actually, we dug out the pieces from the graves because that's how Frankenstein was created. And a fun trivia fact about this is that Mary Shelley created the story just one afternoon. Like, she sat down with her husband and their friend Lord Byron proposed that they each write a gothic ghost story. And so they sat down, and her husband didn't finish his, but she finished hers, and it was the basis for Frankenstein. I'm sure she revised it and added stuff, but talk about your NaNoWriMo. She
Kinzintite.
What?
I said Kinzintite. I didn't understand. Never mind. Continue.
NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month. So she took Frankenstein, the idea, wrote it in a day. And so, yeah, it's about a scientist who brings a bunch of pieces of corpses together, reanimates them, and the monster then wanders around being rejected by regular people and seeking companionship. And as it keeps getting rejected, becomes more and more brutal. So
just tell me, what was the name on the bottle of the brain you got? Abby Normal.
All right, thanks.
No one.
Thanks, Nick.
Just continue. Just do it.
So round one is complete. Let's circle back around for round two. Taylor, who is your second monster or villain?
Okay, so for this one, I don't know if you would classify this as a monster or a villain, but I'm a really big fan of scary movies, and one of my favorite scary movies is the Scream series. So I chose Ghostface from the Scream series.
What is Ghostface, like, powers? Because I've never wanted to watch those shows, and I'm...
That's the thing where I'm, like, not sure if this is considered a monster or more of a villain. He's just a serial killer, but he wears, you know, a creepy mask, and throughout the movie you have no idea who this person is.
So there's like 17 Scream movies. I'm sure it's not that many, but
okay. There's four, and only three of them really count.
Okay, and is he a different person in each one, or do you not find out who he is until the third one?
No, he's a different person in each one.
So they're copycat killers.
Yeah, so you find out at the end of each movie who...
Spoilers, I was going to watch that next week.
No, you weren't.
Did you know they're making another Scream for 2018?
I know that they made a Scream television series that I watched, and I really liked the first season, and I thought the second season was, like, really stupid, but I did not hear they were remaking it.
Wasn't I Know What You Did Last Summer a spinoff of Scream as well, or was it just the same production company?
No, I think it's just the same production, and I think they just came out around the same time. I don't think I Know What You Did Last Summer is as good as Scream. I think Scream 1 is, I mean, as most movies are, the first one's the best. And then Scream 2 is pretty good. 3 has, like, a quality drop off, but is still okay. And then 4 is just garbage. I don't own 4, but
then
I own
it turns into
1,
not another
3.
Scary movie. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, 4 takes place, like, the first 3 take place pretty close together. Like, they came out kind of one after another. And then 4 came out, like, I think
10 years after the last one, so there's like a huge time jump. And I didn't appreciate like the new characters, and they're like, hey, we're bringing on younger, hotter actors and actresses. I didn't
think it was like the same people through 1, 2, and 3, like,
yeah,
they keep trying to kill the same person.
Well, lots of people die throughout, but it's like the same final girl, basically, like the same heroine of like Sydney Prescott. She just keeps on like being attacked, but she always comes out on top.
So it's like all the copycats are like, well, this girl didn't get killed by
Ghost exactly
face, and so I have to achieve what he never did.
That's Sydney creepy. Prescott's like a badass. She's pretty cool. But I don't know.
Is that who plays that?
Yeah, Neve Campbell. Yeah. I've really enjoyed the Scream series because to me they're pretty funny, and they also like do a really good job at like making a commentary on scary movies and how there's certain things that are really stupid about scary movies, and they'll come right out and talk about those things or talk about those cliches and say that in the movie, which I find really like unique and refreshing and really funny. But it's also completely terrifying and super scary. And also you just want to know who's the killer at the end. So I feel like you're invested in kind of the mystery part of it too.
Cool. All right. Well, I learned something about Scream today that I'm never going to watch it. Thank you.
And knowing is half the battle.
Ba-ding-tsh. Is it my turn?
Nope. He doesn't get that. Yes, it is your turn.
Dang it. Okay. My next monster is going to be the most terrifying of all of the dinosaurs. The Indominus Rex from Jurassic World.
It was pretty scary. Yeah,
there's nothing more terrifying than a almost sentient dinosaur with raptor and T-Rex capabilities that can also have chameleon-ness in it. Yeah.
Not just chameleon-ness, but like magic chameleon-ness. Like, he's got like a cloaking field around him.
Yeah, like he is so large, and yet you can't see him in a tree because he can legitimately chameleon himself to have a tree that looks like it. At least that's what I suspect, because I don't know. That terrifies me.
He's got a Harry Potter cloak of invisibility. That's what he's got.
Oh my gosh. And that's a big cloak, because Indominus is huge. Although I do have to say that when, like, they did all the cliches of the movie, like, oh my gosh, like, these are the things that happen. But even the pterodactyls in that movie, like, I wasn't really afraid of pterodactyls and pterosaurs at, like, when I was a kid.
Until they came, like, started carrying people away?
Yeah! No, and then, like, their sharp, evil, like, teeth and stuff, I was like, this is legitimately terrifying. And I just thought that they were pretty bird dinosaurs. And so that brought a whole new, like, thing to my brain. But I think that the most satisfying moment in that movie is definitely when Mosasaurus, like, comes out. Like, totally unexpected, totally, like, that movie moment was just awesome for me. When it was like, yep. And then I thought to myself, in the great words of Qui-Gon Jinn, there's always a bigger fish.
Did you ever think about it, the fact that the T-Rex was a park attraction, but the Indominus Rex was probably being bred for like military use? Because
it's a park attraction. It was Verizon Wireless presents the Indominus Rex.
They talk about it in the movie how it's like, now T-Rex is not impressive enough to us anymore, and velociraptors are boring, and so we always have to do something bigger and better and greater and more awesome.
Yeah, but the story,
the doctor has that whole speech, like, you wanted more teeth, you know, just,
and it so wasn't here, until anyway. It wasn't until, you know, our Wilson Fisk decided that he wanted to military, like, he's like, oh my gosh, we can actually use this as a military thing, and so he's trying to get it done. Like, I didn't think they were legitimately doing it for that reason. Maybe the doctor like had plans like later on, like, well, I'm getting screwed by Jurassic World, and so, because, you know, like...
He kind of did. He took the...
And so maybe that was his plan. I don't know. I guess we'll find out in Jurassic World 2 if that materializes in any way. But Indominus Rex was scary. And I felt the same way I felt when I went and watched the first Jurassic Park. And that made me happy.
Well, then why wasn't
so
your pick
right,
the first
right before Hoskins or Wilson Fisk gets killed, he like monologues about that Dr. Wu works for them, and that the plan was to miniaturize the Indominus to like raptor size. So
I missed that part. I can't watch that movie when Lena's around. She gets mad. She just doesn't.
Yet she's the one who bought it for you.
It's true because she loves me. That's true love.
Woo, love.
I just like the irony of, here, Nick, I got you a movie. You're not allowed to watch it with me.
It happens a lot, actually. Like, I know you love this movie. Here, have fun with it. I do the same thing with her.
That's all about sacrifice. That's what love is, right?
Look at us talking about love on a monster movie. Or on a monster podcast. Look. See,
didn't
here's the
love tame the beast.
That's all Frankenstein was looking for, all Frankenstein's monster, at least. That's all he was looking for was love. If he would have found love, he wouldn't have become a monster. So that's the solution right there. All you need is love. Jeff, you feeling any of this?
I'm sorry, I stopped paying attention.
All right. What's your next monster, Jeff?
Jeff checks out when we talk about love.
Pretty much. Actually, I was researching my next pick to make sure it was... Anyway, I'm going to books again. I'm going to choose from the book Angel Killer, a Jessica Blackwood novel by Andrew Main. He is a serial killer known by the Warlock, who positions bodies in... That sounds weird. Like he makes impossible things happen. Like the very first body is she's found digging herself out of her grave. A girl who died 2 years ago, her body is digging itself out of the grave. And the entire FBI is wondering how the heck did it happen and all this. And so it's an interesting, I just like the book in general. And the Warlock is a really creepy character who stages murders and deaths in impossible ways. And so it's creepy. All of a sudden I'm realizing the best villains are in books. Huh.
Jeff is a bibliophile after all. Look at that. You thought he was just like movies and video games. Nope. He loves his books.
Well, here's the thing though. Like I don't care for scary. Like I don't understand. Like, let's go to this movie and be terrified the whole time. Why? Like, go to a movie, have fun. If that's how you have fun, then have fun. But I mean, like, I don't want to judge people, but it's like, that's not why. But, yeah, I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah. So I don't try to be scared.
Yeah. Well, the thing with scary movies for me is I don't mind being scared, but I want scary like movies or TV shows to have like a real story or a real purpose. So like if it's just like, oh, here's something scary just for the sake of being scary, or here's some blood and guts just to be gross, I don't appreciate that. But if like what's scary about it is like the story and you're telling a good enough story and that makes sense with what you're telling me, and then I'm interested. And that's what I like about like scary movies and scary TV shows. But so, there's a lot of scary movies out there that are just like, hey, here's some really gross blood and guts, or here's some weird like torture gross or weird ghost stuff that doesn't make any sense. But
so
if,
do you
if
feel that
tell
same
a good
way
enough
about
story,
Saw? Like, did you see the Saw
yeah,
movies?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not interested in the Saw movies.
Like torture.
Like, to me, that's just like...
Torture
yeah,
scary.
Yeah, torture porn. Like, it's just... No, it's just gross. But for me, like, something like Scream, where I'm watching it and I'm laughing at, you know, their commentary about scary movies. And also, the first time I watched it, I was just like, oh, I gotta know who Ghostface is. I gotta figure out, you know, who's trying to kill these people, these teenagers, and why, and what's their motive. And, like, to me, it told a good enough story. And I was rooting for the characters, and I was rooting for Sydney to, you know, kind of vanquish this killer. That if it's a good story, then I don't mind being scared a little bit in between that.
So
have you seen Cabin in the Woods?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause like everything I say about scary movies, that's one of my all time favorite movies. Just, it's one of the best well-written movies ever. because it's Joss Whedon.
Yeah, it is. Have you played Until Dawn, the video game?
No.
No?
I isn't that for PlayStation? I don't have that.
Yeah, it's for PlayStation.
So that's my excuse. I don't have the system. Sorry, I can't play it.
I do have to say, for all of my I hate scary movies, that game is awesome. And I played it with Taylor.
I'm glad I could convert you on something.
We still haven't
scary.
Finished it, and it hurts my heart.
So let me ask you a question. Taylor. Is there a difference between a thriller movie and a horror movie? Because from what I know that I've seen, I've always classified horror movies as more like the slasher, blood and guts, torture, stuff like that. And then thrillers are more the ones that make you think, in my opinion, in my like not expert opinion on this. So that's why I'm deferring to you. What do you think?
I mean, I think there is a difference, but I also think those genres can like mesh. Like, I think Scream is a good example of that. Like, there's a story and there's a mystery and you're trying to figure out who the killer is and why, you know, they're doing this. And it's I'd say like in the first movie especially, there's a lot of like whodunit. Like, they lead you to believe that it could be a bunch of different people, and they do a lot of like fake outs of, you know, dropping hints that, oh, it could be this person, or, oh, it's, you know, it could be this person. But then also there's a lot of like stabbing, and like you watch people get killed and there's lots of blood sometimes, or, you know, there's some really gruesome scenes. But I think it's, I don't know. So it's like, yeah, that's a thriller, but also that's terrifying and it's a horror movie. And there's, I don't know. I guess it just depends on the movie. I think scary movies get a bad rap though.
Yeah, you know, I do. I completely agree, because there are some that have some awesome stories to it. While you've been talking, it's not my pick, but it's made me think about Supernatural, because Supernatural has a bunch of the horror genre aspect to it, where there's like a bunch of fake blood and lots of, you know, gross stuff there, as much as you can do on broadcast television. But then there are episodes that are very much more thriller-esque and like have really good stories that really captivate you. I'm thinking specifically there's a episode with a scarecrow. It's one of the earlier episodes. I think it's the first season. And where they go, and there's this town that sacrifices people to a scarecrow. And it's just like, yeah, there's some horror aspect to it, but that's in the B plot for the most part. And it's just scary. With the monster, with the scarecrow monster.
Yeah, I totally know what episode you're talking about. I've seen that one. That one is really scary.
But, isn't that like in season one?
Yeah.
I think I know that episode.
I think that's about when I stopped watching, because I was so scared. I was like, if this is the show, I'm not watching it anymore.
I stopped watching when I realized my favorite episode had nothing to do Supernatural-wise. It was just people killing people.
Well, I think there's an interesting genre, too, if you want to talk about, like, things, like, shows that are scary, and this, to me, comes more with, like, TV shows like Buffy, where, like, the almost, like, the supernatural element is a little bit secondary. Like, to me, like, Buffy is, like, it's more, it could almost be considered, like, a high school drama and a coming-of-age tale, and, like, but they also just happen to fight monsters sometimes, or, like, sometimes the thing is, instead of, like, oh, we're just going to the dance and that's a big deal, it's like, oh, there's an apocalypse, we got to figure that out. So I don't, because there are episodes of Buffy that are like legitimately scary, but also I think a lot of them are like metaphors for things that kids go through in high school or when they're growing up or young adulthood, which I think is an interesting like concept too.
So I am browsing on Stack Exchange, movies.stackexchange.com, and there's a guy who's written like this whole big expose on here, not expose, but essay about the difference between thrillers and horror movies. And so, I didn't know this before we started talking, but he said, from Wikipedia, it says, thrillers are characterized and defined by the moods they elicit, giving viewers heightened feelings of suspense, excitement, surprise, anticipation, and anxiety. Successful examples of thrillers are like the films of Alfred Hitchcock, where horror is a film genre seeking to elicit negative emotional reactions from viewers by playing on primal fears. So the macabre, the supernatural, are frequent themes and may overlap with the fantasy, supernatural fiction, and thriller genres. So for the most part, thrillers are positive and they're exciting, suspenseful, tries to surprise you. And horror movies are kind of the opposite of that. But horror movies still have to have some of those, you know, the anxiety and the suspense in them. So, yeah, I don't know. I've always struggled with what the difference between a thriller and a horror is, because both of them usually have some kind of scary aspect to it that gets me on edge. And yeah, that is interesting about that. All right. If you guys don't have anything else to add to that, I'm going to move to my next pick, which is very telling about the kind of monster movies that I watch. So this monster, his name. So I'm going to tell you his real name first, and we'll see if you can tell which monster it is. His name is Scott Howard. Any takers? No.
Explain.
All right. No. So Scott Howard is a struggling high school student with some problems, and he's on a kind of crappy basketball team. And he
is this Teen Wolf.
Hey, it's wait,
Teen
no.
Wolf. Teen Wolf is my next monster pick. He is a werewolf.
Michael J. Fox. I was thinking about watching this movie again the other day. I just remember him surfing on top of the van. That's what I always remember about this show.
Yeah.
And the free throws.
You know, it's just an example. Not all monsters are bad. Sometimes monsters are just misunderstood. Sometimes they're just misunderstood.
Other than awesome. And there was a show. There was a show that was based off of that was recent, and Lena loves the show Teen Wolf. Is that one you watched, Taylor?
Yeah, I've watched Teen Wolf. That is a good show.
I heard.
But I've also seen the movie you guys are talking about. They are very different.
Completely different.
Very different.
I remember I turned it on. It was on cable one night. I think it was off of MTV. Sarah Glass, that was one of the emails that she wrote in, because we were talking about superhero soap operas and we kind of dismissed Teen Wolf out of hand. And she wrote in, was like, no, you have to give it a chance. And you know what? If you like The Flash, if you like Arrow, if you like that kind of drama, Teen Wolf it's probably something you could get into.
I think Teen Wolf is one of those shows where the most compelling characters are not any of like the main character.
Team
like
Styles.
Scott, Team Styles for life.
Yep. He's like the best.
I feel like that happens a lot though in shows that I like. I often am like, feel like meh about the main character, but then I really love like the sidekick or the best friend or the supporting characters a lot more.
Oh, okay, and this is the final round. So if you've got any big ones that you're saving, this is the time to pull them out.
Oh, I'm having some trouble between two.
Maybe you can have a twofer in this round. Just feel free.
So I'm going to go with then.
Well, you could do a pick, and then we can do some honorable mentions.
Okay. Then I'm going to go for my pick, my official pick, as the Demogorgon from Stranger
Things.
Ooh,
that's a good one. That's a good one.
I think they did a really good job at making one of the scariest things like the build up to seeing the Demogorgon, because you don't see it for, I think, quite a few episodes. Like, it's alluded that, you know, there's some type of monster or something, but a lot of it is like you don't fully see what that looks like. And I think that's kind of what makes it really terrifying, is that you don't know what's happening and you don't know, you know, exactly what is attacking these people, or, you know, what's going on, or what's going on in the Upside Down.
You know, I think I completely agree with you, because that's one of those tricks that they use in film a lot, where they have it. It's scarier if you don't show them. Super 8 is another good example of that, except they do show you the monster at the very end and it sucked. But Stranger Things is a good example of they built up the suspense and then it paid off. So
there was a game on Xbox that actually like talks about this, like in the game. It's called Alan Wake. That was made by Microsoft, so you can only play it on Xbox One or Xbox 360. And it actually came free with my Xbox when I bought it. And the story is that you're a writer and you're writing a book and then all of a sudden you're found in your own nightmare, and you find the pages of the book that you have supposedly already written as you go through the story. And it is terrifying, and one of the things they bring up, and I've thought about a lot, is this concept. And at the end of the game, they kind of tell you what the villain is, but not, and they let you just sit on it and say you can kind of decide what you want, and it makes it even more terrifying. So, yes. And both me and Lena legitimately love this game because of its storytelling. And so it kind of goes along with what Taylor was saying, is that, you know, good horror tugs at your heartstrings and tugs at your, you know, scariness and emotions, but has a good story with it as well. So
Taylor, are you going to binge Stranger Things when it comes out?
Well, I have one. My best friend recommended that instead of going to any Halloween parties this year, we just binge watch Stranger Things, which until recently I thought I was going to be working Halloween night, but I think I might be working Halloween morning now. So I'm kind of considering maybe saving it and binge watching it on Halloween. But I'm definitely going to watch it very quickly.
You're not the one in charge of answering the door for the trick-or-treaters, though, right?
Well, I live in a basement apartment, so I will be really creeped out if any trick-or-treaters come to my separate entrance
just
in the backyard.
All right, Nick, I think I know what we need to do on Halloween night now. Get the creepiest kids we can find. I've got three of them.
So kids, then?
The cobra is going to be toothless. So he's going to be a dragon, so you're going to be terrified.
Yeah, that'll be terrifying.
No, if anything, you'll be like, oh, Cobra, what's that behind you?
Oh, that's his dad, dressed as Astrid.
What's that? Creepy children?
Oh. Oh.
All children are creepy.
That reminded me of another one, but that's not going to be my pick.
All right, Nick.
I didn't even think of the Demogorgon. God. And that's actually like a legitimate, like, scary show that I like. Good job, Taylor. Okay. All right. So I am going to just lump a whole bunch of things into this one, because these were all things that, like, legitimately scared me as a child. Like, I would have nightmares about these things. And so I'm just going to throw them all out really quick, because they're not really scary, but they are iconic. The first one is the dog gargoyle from Ghostbusters. I had a lot of nightmares about that dog, and even to this day I still kind of close my eyes when watching it, just so I don't have memories of it.
Something strange in the neighborhood.
See, I was thinking, I am the keymaster, are you the gatekeeper?
That's like literally the part, like when you're walking up the thing and those gargoyles, like the dogs, yeah, those things terrified me. Another honorable mention is the Rancor from Star Wars. Gave me nightmares for a lot of my childhood. Yeah, like his teeth and the gooiness and biting.
Wait, is that the one
biting
where...
in the pit. Like, I got scared. And him, like, biting the warrior, is it Gorgon? The green
pig guy?
Yeah. Just like, yeah, that just terrified me as a kid. I fast-forwarded that part in Star Wars. I'm okay with that one now. And then the last one is the little green alien at the end of Spaceballs that comes out of his stomach.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my
darling. Yep, exactly. I had nightmares about an alien coming out of my stomach. I've never watched Alien for this reason, because I know that it's going to terrify me to my childhood memories.
Of Spaceballs?
But also just something coming out of my stomach. For some reason, that just terrifies me. Like something growing like an egg and then coming out in like a Renesmee fashion.
You know, Spaceballs is the centerpiece of one of my favorite family memories, which is on Christmas Eve, we always would do a white elephant game. And every year, my grandma's kind of crazy, and she gets offended every year about something random. And one year, we were playing the white elephant game, and she got the VHS copy of Spaceballs. And she got very upset and was like, what is this filth? And she thought it was like some dirty movie because it was called Spaceballs. And she like got very offended and like lectured all of us about how inappropriate we all are, and she left the Christmas party early.
That's awesome. That is a great memory of your grandma.
Yeah, and anytime anyone says or mentions anything about Spaceballs, that's immediately what I think of.
So that's my trio of terror when I was a kid.
Well, I can see why you don't watch scary movies.
Yeah. Now I'm going to go cry in a corner for a while.
All right, Jeff, what is your last pick?
So my last official pick is Killgrave from Jessica Jones. It's just the whole concept is creepy. Just the idea of saying he can say something and you have to do it. It's weird.
He doesn't just take your voice. He takes everything.
Yeah. You know, you see characters have mental breakdowns over, you, the delivery person, you've been Killgraved, you don't know. Like, no, she's just doing her job. And so it's the whole concept of not knowing who to trust and all this. So, yeah, we've talked about Killgrave 1,000 times, but I was, the Demi Gordon pick made me look to Netflix for stuff, and Jessica Jones came up. I almost said, my honorable mentions would be probably Negan and Zombies, just because that's what I'm watching right now. Walking Dead was really good.
Killgrave was one of my honorable mentions, so I agree. Right. Killgrave is pretty creepy.
Yeah. And the first time I ever remember watching something and getting scared and have to turn it off, we had a VHS copy that I thought had James and the Giant Peach on it. And it did. I watched the entire movie. But at the end, there was this another movie. And this girl was doing something in the park, and then she was talking to her brother, and she was saying, her baby brother, and saying something like, I want them to take you away. And all of a sudden there's all these puppets on screen and they're like, say the chant, get the, let us take the kid. It was Labyrinth. It's a great movie now, but like,
the babe with power.
I wish I could do the whole thing. I don't know it well enough. But yeah, like not knowing that movie was at the end of James and the Giant Peach in our VHS, probably illegally recorded thing, like it's just like, wait, why does she want to get rid of her little brother? What's going on? What's happening? And I didn't know it was trying to get rid
of her little brother, and it terrified him. That is,
except I wouldn't have been the little brother to get rid of.
True, but you were the baby.
There's a sibling between us that in our childhood would have been like, yeah, you can leave, but we're cool now. Mostly. But yeah, that's kind of, so I guess Labyrinth in general would be my honorable mention.
All right,
because I don't even think it got to David Bowie when I watched it. It was just a whole bunch of goblins saying, let us take the kid. It was, yeah,
the Goblin King could terrify you in other ways, but that's
with his codpiece.
Yeah, you could have just let it, you know.
No, it's let Nick. Do you not know him? He could not have just let it sit.
That actually reminded me of the scary black, like, wolf guy from Neverending Story. That was like the, what was his name?
Just the wolf.
There's that wolf that, like, was super scary and worked for the bad guy.
For the nothing.
Yeah. Anyway, that just reminded me of that, too.
The thing that scared me the most when I was a kid was The Mummy, but just very specifically the scene where those bugs crawl in their skin.
Oh, yeah.
That terrifies me too. Like, I closed my eyes during that part too.
I was very vividly remember watching that movie when I was way too young to watch it. And I've never gone back and rewatched it since, because that part, and that part is the only part I remember. I don't even remember anything about the actual mummy. I just remember bugs crawling in people's skins and being scarred for life.
That's one of Lena's favorite movies.
That mummy is really good.
That's a good mummy.
Part of me is just afraid to go back and rewatch it.
Well, we found two movies that we need to watch with you, Tay Tay. So
that mummy, the effects you might watch it now and go, oh, why was I scared of that? Or you might go, that's worse than I remembered. So. But my odds are it's going to be, that CGI is terrible.
That movie honestly made it so I did not watch another scary movie until I was like 14. And then I watched a scary movie and I was like, why? What? I'm fine.
See, Taylor, now I feel old. because I was at least 14 when that movie came out.
Yeah, I don't even want to tell you how young I probably was when The Mummy came out.
All right.
We're talking kindergarten.
I was... I think I was out of high school when that movie came out.
I just know that my cousins, my older cousins were watching it, and I like knew that it was not something I should have been watching.
I'm pretty sure it was my senior year.
Yeah. The Mummy came out in 1999.
I remember that. I went and saw that as a midnight showing with one of my friends, who I also saw at the same restaurant today.
That's really funny. I talked to him for a little bit, too.
I would have been 5 years old.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
That makes sense that it was very scarring for my 5-year-old self.
That does make a lot of sense. At 5, that would be creepy. So, okay, so my last pick, and this one's more of a villain, but this is a guy who actually, like, when I was a kid, this was a guy who scared me. Like, I was not, like,
Ronald McDonald.
How did you know? No. Darth Vader.
Because
Darth Vader is one of those monster, scary villain people. Like, I watched Star Wars before I comprehended the story of Star Wars, and I watched them slightly out of order. And I tell you, I watched in Return of the Jedi, I watched the mask come out, and I'm like, I know now that that's like the part where it's like, oh, it's showing that he's a person and a human. And I was like, nope, he's a monster. He put the mask back on. Yeah. Put the mask back on. He's a monster.
And that's one of the scenes that I would close my eyes to. Like, that was, yeah. And that's from the same movie. Like, Return of the Jedi. That was the scary one.
Everyone says it was Empire.
That one is the scary
one. Really?
No, Empire's not scary. That's when Yoda's hanging out, and he's awesome.
And there, okay, there's the scene in Dagobah. There's a scene in Dagobah with Vader that was kind of scary too.
Oh, I don't. So. No. Oh well, yeah. When you see his face in a crack.
Are we talking about the same movie here
with Darth Vader?
So you, I'm just saying, like, you really think Jedi is the scary
when
one?
When I was a kid, you know, yeah, definitely. Jedi was the scary one.
The tiny, the teddy bears,
dude,
the monsters,
no. Cannibal teddy bears.
You have to... Okay, so the teddy bears was not the scary part.
Did you
the scary part was Jabba.
Did you catch on
that
they were cannibals when you were a kid?
Salacious crumb guy freaked me out because he's like, and he's going to eat me. And then, like, the pit that will swallow me up and then never... Yeah, and then digest me into a million years. Okay, like, this is legitimately terrifying,
Jeff.
Does it
keep you alive for a million years or does it just kill you?
So, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I watched... So... Teenagers, if you watched Return of the Jedi as a teenager, you're like, oh, I'm noticing Slave Leia over all the top of all these weird, scary monsters. But if you're watching Return of the Jedi as like a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, maybe, you don't notice Slave Leia as much. And
there's a lot of scary monsters in that.
And Jabba's palace is freaky. So
yeah, that, you know, I honestly
green
don't
pig
remember
monsters with big battle axes.
Yes,
and
yes.
Freaky eye that comes out and says, "Are you here? I'm not going to let you in." Blah 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 blah. And then I have like flashbacks of Flight of the Navigator, and that freaks me out. And then, dude,
I honestly don't remember sitting down and watching the original trilogy for the first time. It's just one of those things that's always been there. You know, I don't remember my parents ever being like, "Okay, today we're watching."
Well, yeah,
Star
my parents
Wars.
Didn't do that too. Watching, actually,
it was just something that was
actually
just
it was an uncle who. I don't remember watching A New Hope for the first time, but I do remember watching, and I don't know that it was the first time, I'm assuming it was, but I remember spending the night at an uncle's house and watching Empire, and the whole Tauntaun, and...
Oh, the guts, that grossed me
guts,
out too.
That kind of that freaked me out, but then the Return of the Jedi, I don't remember where I watched it, I just remembered being... Freaked out by it. But, you know, Darth Vader in particular. Like, we talked about, there's a bunch of little freaky stuff as kids. But Darth Vader, you know, he's one of the greatest villains and one of the worst villains. And no matter what you say, I do not believe that Anakin was redeemed because he did a lot of crappy stuff. And
he made a good decision at the end, but redeemed, yeah. I think in the context of the original trilogy, he's totally redeemed. But when you throw in Master Skywalker. The fact that he killed a whole bunch of children. Yeah, when you throw in the prequels, he did not redeem. He's not redeemed at all.
Right. And we, yeah.
But Ridge Tridge, yeah, he's redeemed. Yeah, it's. I heard
it's
on
Ridge
Cracked,
Tridge
and, it's awesome.
And Disco.
Ridge Tridge.
The Ridge Tridge
Disco.
And the prequels.
Next Gen.
Disco. Oh.
And.
Oh, now you're just confusing Star Wars with Star Trek, and I'd like to ask you to leave.
I'm bringing the podcast full circle now, dude.
Full circle.
Don't do that yet, Brandon.
I've got an honorable mention that I want to get out there, and this is a from a movie that came out a long time ago in 1989.
I was going to say
that came out before The Mummy.
Right, right. So this is a movie that had Howie Mandel in it and Fred Savage. This is a movie called
I want to guess. I know.
Deal or No Deal.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. Those suitcases scare me.
Deal or No Deal. The movie.
That purple friend.
That banker's real scary.
It's
Little Monsters. Monsters. Yeah. Yeah, so
ooh, I know movies.
That movie was scary.
I liked that movie as a kid. I was like, "Oh, that's kind of cool." I'm kind of disappointed that none of you, especially you, Nick, there was no Sully reference. There was no Mike Wazowski reference.
Hey, dude,
we're talking about monsters because those aren't scary or villains.
What if that was on my honorable mention?
Randall
that I haven't mentioned
is
yet?
Legitimately scary because he can just pop out of nowhere. Plus, he's also played by one of my favorite actors, Steve Buscemi. So
it's Buscemi.
Sure. And
I've heard it's his. Yeah, I know. That's how he prefers.
Great. And thank you, Jeff. Like, that terrifies me that somebody can just sneak up and do it. But yeah, I was speaking of my own terror.
All right. So here's the thing about this monsters and villains. Yes, monsters and villains and Halloween makes you think scary movies. But what about my list actually makes you think scary movies? I mean, I got Frankenstein, which has been parodied to crap. I couldn't even get through my naming him without Nick pulling out a parody quote for it. I've got Teen Wolf. What makes you think that I was making this be a scary movie? I mean, I started it out by doing this.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
How do you think that I'm limiting this to only scary monsters, Jeff? It's me.
Well, here's the thing, though. But your first examples were the heroes. When you said you were disappointed you didn't see Sully or Mike, those are not the villains.
But monsters or villains.
Interesting.
But they're not the
But they
villains.
Are monsters.
That's interesting.
They are monsters.
You know me. I'm not going to
they
give up
They are monsters.
On this.
That is why it is called Monsters, Inc. They are scary. That's why Sully is the top scarer.
But they're not the villains.
But he's not classifying them as villains. He's classifying them
as monsters. That was the discussion that
monsters.
I was told we were doing.
Monsters slash villains.
Monsters slash villains.
Just because you can't read.
I'm not
giving up on this.
I'll
just because you
be
can't read.
Honest.
I mean...
Wait, can that...
I,
then one of my
I
honorable
took it
mentions...
as monstrous villains, too. So.
Yeah, then one of my honorable mentions is going to be like Regina George and Dan Scott, because they're monsters.
Yes.
They're
different.
They're
monsters.
People.
Aren't they also the villains?
But they're monsters and they're villains.
Huh?
That's fine. No, I'm not arguing at that. They're the villains. All right,
then I'm going to throw in Frollo from Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Ooh, that's a
he
good
is,
one. That
he
is,
a,
he
is
truly
he
terrifying.
Is a monster. He is the most terrifying Disney villain.
I didn't like to watch that movie a lot as a kid because I found it so like unsettling.
He is like a legitimate terrifying.
He's a monster and a villain.
Human
oh,
and monster.
Can I just keep adding more? Can we also add Pennywise the clown? Because you
That's
guys,
a thing, no.
if you love scary movies, go see it. It's so good. It's so funny. It's so hilarious. And I honestly laughed more in that movie than I was scared. And it has such a great story. And it reminds me of like Stranger Things or Goonies or like Stand By Me.
Well, Stand By Me was also written by Stephen King, so
Yeah. Well, it has like a lot of those same elements. It takes place in the 80s, and it's like, to me, it's more about friendship and like a coming of age story that also just happens to be like, have a couple scary things.
Or one completely terrifying thing that I don't want in my brain. So,
but honestly, more than anything, I laughed hysterically throughout that almost the entire movie.
That is one of the only times that I will not watch a Tim Curry movie.
Well, you're in luck. It's not a Tim Curry movie.
The new one isn't. The original is.
No.
Both.
The original one is not a Tim Curry movie.
It's a TV miniseries.
It's a Tim Curry TV movie.
Oh. All right. Well, anyway, he played Pennywise, and that's one of the times that I've said, you know what? I know how awesome you are, and I know I'm going to be terrified of you, and I don't want that in my heart.
I'm just going to go watch Muppet Treasure Island again.
So I was just thinking of The Worst Witch. I'm just going
to
go
But the new It is so good. I just want you to all know, even though you won't go see it, none of you will go see it, but I just want you to know how much you're missing out.
Okay. All right.
I have, like, I might, okay, I'm wrestling, but I might watch this Walking Dead style.
What does that mean?
By not watching it, by having it while doing something else?
Like, I might watch it while playing a video game or drawing or doing something so that, like, if there's even a chance that there's going to be something scary, I just won't watch it, and then I'll just, like, know the story.
What if we just watch it together and I'll, like, hurry and stand in front of the TV every time something scary is going
to
happen?
I'll just...
All right, Nick, you're safe to look up.
I don't trust you one bit, Tay-Tay. I don't trust that you would tell me not to, because you would find complete, utter joy in watching me, like, pee my pants in front of you.
There was only one part in that movie where I jumped.
I'd be more worried of her not paying full attention, like, chatting with Lena at just the wrong time.
Lena wouldn't watch it.
Then hear Nick scream and Taylor go, oh, hey, now's the time to look away.
Oh, and by the way, that was the time you weren't supposed to look. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, there's also something to be said about the sensitivity levels. So we had a chili cook-off that I participated in this last week.
And it was terrifying.
It was scary. It was very scary. Monstrous villainy.
Three people died.
So, but, you know, I love chili, and my family doesn't. And so I never get to make chili. And so the chili cook-off, I'm making chili. So I made chili, and, you know, my wife goes and dishes up a bowl, and she's like, how spicy is yours? And I was like, it's got some warmth to it that lingers for a little bit, but it's not really spicy. And I told her that, and then I was sleeping on the couch that night, because apparently not really spicy to me is... You know what? You should have warned me better to her. So
that's actually an argument we have with my dad, like, weekly. Like, I cut the spices in half. Like, it's still spicy. It's delicious, but it's still spicy.
Yeah. So, you know, what's scary to Taylor is going to definitely be scary to Nick. But what's scary to Nick,
I mean, literally,
may not be scary to Taylor.
Baseball's alien. Just remember that is my threshold.
I would still argue that overall, the new remake of It is not very scary. Or at least it doesn't focus on just scares. Like, that's not the main part of the movie.
All right.
Honestly, the clown isn't even in it that much.
Compared to Stranger Things, how is it more scary or less scary?
I'd say... a little more scary.
On a scale of 1 to 11, how scary is it?
But more so, I'd say it deals with maybe a little more complicated themes and a little more adult themes.
Okay, so what you're telling me, like, is that when it comes onto Netflix, it might be something that I can turn on and while I'm working on something else. But I don't think I'm going to go see it in the theater. Even with a movie pass, I don't think I'm going to go see it in the theater.
I don't know. I was just very surprised, because I went into it thinking, oh, I'm going to be really scared. This is going to be a really scary movie. And I, like I said, I spent more time, like, there were parts in the movie where I was, like, hysterically laughing. And I was like, this is a scary movie? What's happening? And the character development, the acting, those kids, they're just so talented. One of the Stranger Things kids is in it, so...
All right, so here's what you've done tonight, Taylor, is you have made me feel like, oh, maybe I can watch it. And then I'm going to have nightmares. And I hope you're going to be happy with yourself when I have nightmares. You better believe that I'm going to tag you in something when I have nightmares.
Maybe you can just like get a special version of the movie where they cut out all the clown parts.
But the problem is VidAngel doesn't exist anymore.
They actually went bankrupt.
Yeah, they went bankrupt. Yeah. Why wasn't that on the news story?
Because I didn't know. Jeez, about
Jeff.
It. Also, what's VidAngel?
Jeff is the one who doesn't like to cut things out. If anyone's gonna be talking about VidAngel, it's gonna be me. But
it was Queen Flicks, but not.
No, I know what it is. It was that thing that people were saying, "Hey, you're stealing our movies." No, we're not. We're buying them and returning them, and turns out that's kind of illegal.
VidAngel is a stupid idea. Either watch the movie and watch it, or don't. That's my opinion.
You know what? I agree. I completely agree with you.
Like, either you're okay to watch it and you're going to watch it in its whole, or if you don't feel comfortable watching it, then don't watch it.
Yeah, there's like if there's something that you think, you know, the object lesson that like my youth teachers always used was like, if you feel so like if we made some brownies and just put some dog crap right on the top of it, you wouldn't just scoop off the dog crap and then eat the brownies. You would say, I'm going to go get another plate of brownies, not eat these ones. And you know what? If you like, oh, that looks like dog crap, but somebody else is like, oh, that looks like something else. That looks like chocolate mousse. I don't know. The dog had a weird diet, I guess. and the person says, this is good to eat, and they go and eat it. Then you should either eat it all or not. I agree with you.
Well, I just feel like it goes... To me, it's like, go big or go home. It's how I feel about soda, actually, like diet soda. I'm like, if you're going to drink soda, soda already isn't that good for you. Even diet soda, not that good
for you. Right, diet soda has more caffeine than the regular soda.
Yeah, but if you're going to drink soda, to me, I'm like, don't you want the good stuff? Don't you want to drink real soda?
No, I want the caffeine high. That's why I drink it, you know? So I drink the thing that gives me the most caffeine, and I don't want a sugar crash. And so that's why you drink diet soda. It has nothing to do about being healthy. There's absolutely nothing healthy about diet soda.
But I just don't like to drink anything that has the word die in it.
Quick, come up with a drink that has the word die in it. Dihydrogen monoxide.
I'm trying really hard.
Boom. Anyone else chemistry teachers tried to use that joke to scare
dihydrogen
students?
Monoxide to hydrogen and one oxygen H2O, yeah. Water. So there's actually a unit in junior high that they teach now about internet literacy, that they use dihydrogen monoxide and they use basically fake news about it to say, don't just believe everything that you read, figure out yourself for yourself, and they use dihydrogen monoxide for that. It's not just for chemistry anymore.
But the internet is so easy to just listen to,
like
though.
This podcast.
I don't remember learning anything from high school chemistry. I'm glad you guys remember things.
Well, you see,
I'm the youngest one, so I should.
Here's the thing:
it.
High school chemistry didn't happen on this podcast, and so Jeff remembers all of that. If we had had high school chemistry on this podcast, Jeff wouldn't have remembered a single thing.
Ooh, wait, I just remembered something about high school chemistry. I remember that we had to dissect owl poo.
What?
Yes.
What? In chemistry?
Yeah. I don't know why, but I remember that happening.
Her chemistry teacher was the real monster.
I don't think I did
Hedwig.
Well in chemistry.
Hedwig.
I got kicked out of chemistry because my chemistry teacher made a big deal about how you couldn't pass his class without doing any homework. Guess who passed his class without doing any homework?
You went to Ruben Roll?
So, yeah, he's like, you should probably find another class to be in. I was like, yeah, you're probably right. So, all right. Any more honorable mentions from you guys? I mean, there's obviously the Universal Monster movies. We didn't talk about Dracula even. Like, Dracula, he's on my honorable mention list. Did you know that Bram Stoker, when he was writing Dracula, he was going to use the name Wampire? And then he found a guy named Dracula, which in the book that he read had the footnotes that meant in some Moldovan or Wallachian or something like that language, it means the devil. It doesn't actually, but that's the book that he read said that it meant the devil. And so he's, I like Dracula. I'm going to change it from Vampire to Dracula. And so can you imagine you got Count Vampire the Vampire?
I like it.
That would have been terrible.
I think we should create a supervillain named Vampire.
I thought that Dracula was supposed to be based off of, like, Vlad the Impaler.
That's
why his name was Vampire. Because it was like Vlad, Wad. Same thing.
Because Vlad was a real creepy person.
Let me see if I can find it. Sorry, I had it up, then I closed it. But yeah, so he was. It was all in a bunch of research that he was doing about that he found Vlad the Impaler, and that some people called him Dracula, and then in the footnotes, Dracula meant devil, and so he's like, oh, I'm going to use that one. And so yeah, it did come from Vlad the Impaler, but just really like further back. It was because of Vlad the Impaler, but no, he wasn't based on Vlad the Impaler. Yeah, fun.
That's right. Might not remember chemistry, but I remember history.
You remember what's important.
The scary stuff.
Stories about vampires.
Yeah, the stories about someone impaling other people.
Yeah, let me see. Close. Okay, so the real Dracula was not a count, nor was he a vampire or ever associated with vampires. So the principalities. There was a Dracula in the 15th century called Vlad the Impaler. Stoker didn't know much about him, but he came across his name in a book that he was researching entitled An Account of the Principalities of Wallachia and Moldavia. This book is a very short section on Vlad Dracula, who fought against the Turks. What attracted Stoker to the name Dracula was a footnote by Wilkinson, which stated Dracula in the Wallachian language means devil. So it's not quite accurate, but you know, Stoker saw that, copied it into his notes. And there's actually a museum in Rosenbach in Philadelphia. A Rosenbach Museum in Philadelphia that has these notes, so you can see where he changed it from Count Vampire to Dracula. I have this feeling that if he had not have changed the name from Vampire to Dracula, Dracula would not be as iconic as he is today. So, yeah.
I agree.
What's in a name?
No, I think Vampire has
Vampire
a real
just sounds like he's crying.
Are you going to keep crying, Vampire?
That's like, that's really what I thought of. You'd
call the Wambulance for the Vampire?
Yeah, exactly, though. It just sounds like he's really whiny. You should suck it up.
Oh, suck it up, Dracula.
Literally, because he's a vampire.
Oh.
I didn't even mean to do that.
Yes, you did.
I want to hug your wah-wah-wah.
All right. Well, I think this is where we're going to wrap it up, because we're going even off more tangent than we normally do.
Dude, we went off a tangent. I thought we were wrapping up like 25 minutes ago.
So. Right, right.
You're welcome.
I don't feel like that a vampire is going off on a tangent about when we're talking about monsters.
You know what? Okay, you may be right, but we were working on ending the show. So. Based off of that, that was...
You're the one that brought
my fault. I'm sorry. Can't you guys keep me on task? Jeez.
Sorry.
I'm really good at keeping everybody on task, so...
That's why we have you here, Nick.
Nick's so done.
All right, Taylor, thank you for joining us tonight.
You know the show's going long when Nick wants to go back to it.
Thank you for having me. It was fun. I hope that I, you know, could shed some light on why scary movies are cool.
Definitely. I was concerned about doing this topic, but I'm like, it's Halloween time. We should do something. And the Nick's like, I've got the person. We should record with Taylor. And I was like, all right. So I'm glad that you love these scary movies and these monsters and these horrible, horrible human beings that you have on your list. Regina George, Dan Scott. Yeah. All right. Okay, so if you want to reach out to us and tell us your favorite monsters, head over to fandompodcast.com/contact, facebook.com/fandompodcast. We're on Twitter @fandomcast, and let us know who your favorite monsters are and the villains and all of that fun stuff And like I proved, they do not have to be scary monsters or villains. They can be kind of out of left field like I did. So
you're a monster.
Am I? Oh, okay. All right. So if you want to support us, remember we have the PX exclusive Funko Pop happening. If you sign up to contribute $1 a month to us, if you sign up to contribute $1 a month to the show, then you will be in the running to receive a PX exclusive, but you have to sign up by November 20th. Okay. So that is at patreon.com/fandompodcast. Or if to see some other ways that you can help support the show, you can head over to fandompodcast.com/support. And until next time,
good night, Air Doctor. Good night, foul Brucher.
All right, William, that's your task. You get to choose what Nick and I say right here, so get on it. That's my outro.
I may be dead, but I'm still pretty.
May the fandom be with you. Okay, so let's... You know what? What am I going to do? What am I going to do?
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
What are you thinking? Where's your mind at right now?
Now don't start that again.
I mean, you guys can just book me in advance.
Okay, we'll do it.
Unless you're planning on shutting down the podcast.
I can't afford your booking fees twice in 1 year, Taylor.
We don't know what we're talking about next week, let alone in May.
Hey, you know what we're talking about next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And now
thank you.
You do know what you're talking about in May.
Yeah, so we have May planned out. Okay, we're going to have...
What are we talking about next week?
A month... I'll text you, Jeff.
Guys, have you heard of, like, we'll have... off-mic conversations? Because...
Yeah, Nick and I have...
Here's how usually what happens
actually,
is...
Me and Brandon just randomly went to the same place for lunch. He was walking out, and I was like, Brandon, how are you? Jared was there as well, and I was just like, hey, cool, I'll talk to you tonight. Like, it was pretty awesome.
I wonder why that is, because... You know, so Scott,
I think that's another podcast right there.
Sidekick.
Yeah, I'll come on that one because I feel that way about How I Met Your Mother. I think Ted is so annoying. Oh, he's the least likable character on that show.
I guess we found out what we're talking about in May.
No, that episode is going to be her list of favorite things to watch on her birthday.
I don't know if I can. I'm still upset about how I Met Your Mother ended. I don't think I will ever get over that.
Yeah, there's an alternate ending where it ended the way that we all wanted it to.
Wanted it to end.
Or it should have.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on YouTube. Maybe I'll
find it.
It's
one of those things where it's like they got so...
Because I already knew it.
I believe that like they were like, this is how it should end at the beginning, right? Like they clearly said...
And they locked themselves into it.
Yeah, and it shouldn't have happened that way. Like the characters evolved in such a way that it definitely should have not ended. And...
Well,
yeah, anyway.
So the problem I have with it is that they, like, to me, throughout the whole series, they twisted it. Like, if they wanted that to be the ending, I feel like they could have told the story a little bit different. But, like, they didn't. They made it, like, there were, like, multiple episodes where Ted was like, I'm not supposed to be with Robin. Like, that's not supposed to work. I know this is true. Like, it's not okay. And no, like, it's not, I gotta let her go, and it's not right. And I just feel like it was out of left field for me. Like, I was just, I don't know. And then the mother and that happening
like
so fast.
Like, 3 seasons ago, and then all of a sudden she comes back into the...
Well, yeah, and they spent the whole last season at,
making
like, building up
love,
to Barney and Robin's wedding. Yeah. That was a big mistake.
So
I have so many
so
problems.
So here's the interesting thing about that is the... So you're exactly right. They locked themselves into it. But they, so the, you know, the kids, you know how they didn't age in there? That's because filmed all of their scenes at once. So those kids, they knew the ending for 9 years. So they knew how the series was going to end, and they didn't tell anyone. So
that we know of.
That we know of.
Right. They're probably like,
well, they're just like, hey, you know, he ends up with Robin at the
spoilers.
End, right? Everyone just be like, no, they don't. No, they, what? No. Like, that's a stupid ending.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
like,
to me, they just, it, what, how long is that? Is that 8 seasons? I think it's
like
eight
that.
Seasons. To me, they spent eight seasons telling us why Ted and Robin shouldn't be together, only to have them end up together.
Yeah.
I was just like so confused.
Anyway, this is a whole
other
podcast.
True monsters, Ted Mosby, he is a
monster. Monsters,
all right.
I am upset about How I Met Your Mother, and I will never get over it.
All right. So my pick was Teen Wolf. Unless you want to do Ted Mosby as your pick, Taylor, I think you've got to pick up your sleeve.
He's a true monster.
Dreams. It's in all
it
our
causes,
drinking water.
It can corrode a ship. Like, if you leave a ship in there, it will corrode it. Metal goes away. Science and words.
This is definitely
stuff.
Not what I thought you just said.
Yeah, I heard something else.
Okay. You said it corrodes old shiz.
All right, that might be.
I was like, huh. It does.
I also heard something
wrong. Okay, so it can corrode metal away. Like, you leave metal in there, it turns to rust. Dihydrogen monoxide is a very big problem, people.